Marcus, busy time in Adelaide at the moment. We've got lots of festivals on, lots of events. It's all action. It's the best.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's massive. It's the best time of the year to be in Adelaide. All year is great to be in Adelaide, but this time of the year is when it's really our time to shine. Everyone comes down here, and I've actually had a couple of major celebrity sightings just in the last couple of days.
Yeah, wow. This sounds very exciting, Tim.
It's pretty exciting. when the sightings happened, I'm not one to kind of approach a celebrity. I don't like to really get up there and do a selfie or even ask for an autograph. I just like to kind of, you know, confirm that I think this is that person, like sort of angle myself, yep, it's them, confirm. Maybe just, you know, nod the head, like acknowledge, like, yeah, I know who you are.
Even in the studio here, you're pretty cool about celebrities. You don't normally sort of crane your neck around to look at the special guests. You know,
Turnbull came in, no big deal.
Yeah.
That's all right. Don't worry about that. Oh. John Howard's been in, yeah, no, it's all right.
Well, you know, you're a man of conviction and poise, so why would you?
But this time, on the weekend, I saw a celebrity, and it was such an exciting moment that I definitely knew I had to talk to you about it straight away. Would you like to know who it was?
Should I play a bit of a guessing game first? Or was it a world-renowned person? Or is it an Adelaide legend?
Well, I don't know where they fit in the hierarchy. All I know is that I was pretty chuffed to have made this sighting. Look, I can't really stand to build it up anymore. I'm just going to drop it.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to drop it. David Marr.
David Marr? Who's David Marr?
You don't know who David Marr is?
No. Who's David Marr? Explain.
He's like, I've seen him on Insiders a couple of times.
David Marr.
He's sort of like a journalist. Well, he's more like an opinion guy. Like he's like an essayist, or he's written some books,
right?
Some biographies. You're on
your plane of intelligence is up, and I'm trying to point on a podcast. You're up here. I'm down. Go on.
So
I'm feeling really stupid.
I'm feeling stupid actually because maybe he's not a celebrity at all.
Yeah, that.
Maybe he's more of like an identity.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the pecking order
is. And what circumstances did you just see this?
Oh, I bumped into him just out the front of the museum.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, he was just soaking up some culture perhaps, and that's where I saw him. But I did see a second celebrity as well.
Oh, this is probably more my lowbrow sort of celebrity.
Well, I think I'm pretty sure this one you will have heard of. But I want to gauge from you like how impressive this signing was. Like, I'm not really sure, but I'm kind of proud.
Yep. Okay.
Jeffrey Rush.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a better reaction.
Yeah, that grabbed me.
Mm-hmm. He was just like in the street. I just walked past some cafe and he was just on the street smoking a cigarette by himself.
Yeah, that is
and
cool.
He's one of those guys. I straight away noticed this guy with crazy hair and looked like a character. And I thought, grabbed my attention immediately, and then I thought, hang on, that guy looks a bit like Jeffrey Rush. And then I thought, I've got to just confirm if this is Jeffrey Rush, because it's Adelaide in March. It, you know, could be anyone. Probably is Jeffrey Rush. We've got the Arts Festival on. So I kind of angled my way across the footpath, kind of looked him full in the face. Yep, that's definitely Jeffrey Rush. Kind of like nodded, and he gave me nothing, just stared through me.
Well, you would have thought one creative genius to another, there'd be this sort of understanding.
There'd be electricity crackling in the air between us, and we would have really be able to just, you know, become instant friends.
Have a chat, talk about life.
Yep. He might ask for my phone number, and we just start texting each other.
Yep. Call him Rushy. Yep. G Rush.
And he'd say, Grush. He'd say, Tim Dog, like, next time I've got a premiere, I want you on the red carpet with me.
Oh,
I'd
didn't
get
happen.
Some scoops. I'd get exclusives.
Does it depend on the celebrity whether you approach them or whether you would like to chat to them? Or is there some that you just like to say, I saw them? Was he a guy you would have liked to have or felt comfortable to say, hey, how's it going, Jeffrey?
Yeah.
And then just walk on?
The kind of vibe I got was not an inviting one.
Right.
No, but not to say that there was anything rude, not at all. But I don't know. Maybe some celebrities you would, in a different situation, maybe where they're at a book signing or actually at a premiere where they're kind of putting themselves out there and maybe up for some contact, you might get a completely different vibe. But this, he was just having a private moment. Yeah. I didn't really feel like you would go up and talk to him in that situation. And I would never, I struggle to talk to people I know. Like, I'm not going to approach, number one, a stranger. That's scary enough. Number two, a famous stranger. So no, it can never happen. The celebrity interaction for me, it can never happen.
The great thing about that story and the best celebrity stories are when you see a person not at a book signing, not at a press conference.
In the wild.
In the wild, doing normal things. A few times when I've been in Sydney and Melbourne, I've seen, I guess, TV stars.
Drop the names.
Oh, they were just people like that were on the comedy skit shows.
Yeah,
at the
we
time.
Want names though. We want names.
Well, I can't remember, so they weren't that famous. I've probably seen Rove or something, or Peter Hellier, or and
both big names.
And you see them just hanging out, and that feels
Wearing a cap, looking grungy.
I think that's when you get a bit overawed because you go, oh, they're just normal people.
They're just people like me.
Yeah, yeah.
They just walk around with copies of The Advertiser in their hand, which is what Jeffrey Rush was holding when I bumped into him.
I wonder what he read.
Well, this is interesting. The paper was still in its wrapper, so right. I don't know. Maybe he was using it to swat mosquitoes. But have you had a sighting?
I saw Will Anderson. I find when I drive to work, I get to the intersection of Weymouth and King William Street, where the
a bustling thoroughfare,
where the pedestrians go all directions, and I often spot people I know.
Really? Yeah.
Or
okay.
I saw some Brisbane Lions women's players. Why are you flinching?
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't know who they were, but I could tell. Oh, they're in town.
I know who they are because I can see the logo on there.
Pretty much, they could have been just three girls.
They could have been fans.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, I was looking at fans.
Marcus, newsman. Adelaide, federal member for Adelaide, Kate Ellis, this week announced she's pulling the pin on at least her federal political career. She's retiring.
Yes.
And said basically it boils down to one single reason why she's giving the whole thing up.
It's family, isn't it, Tim?
It is family. And she specifically said her almost two-year-old son that since his early days, apparently, she's taken him around with her when she travels because a federal politician spends almost half the year in Canberra. And when he was really little, there was no trouble taking him with her. But she's saying as he gets into the school age.
Yep, in a couple of years' time.
Which would be the next parliament sort of, what are they called, terms.
Yes.
Will cover his entry into school. She just doesn't want to be that far away as he takes that step. And there's been some different opinions about that. Interested to know if you have one.
She described it as feeling like she'd be miserable missing out on such an event, and I can see why. And one of the interesting parts of the press conference she held after announcing this, she was quickly on the front foot to talk about this isn't about women in politics and where they belong, because she believes it's a career that is very accommodating, as you mentioned earlier, to having women with children involved, but it's all about choice. And she said, no, I want to be around for my son and be there for the school years. So I think that's a very valid reason to quit. And she's given plenty of notice to the Labor Party and the people in her constituent that, yep, she's giving it up at the next election. Gives Labor a chance to look at new candidates and plan for the future and work around that. So I think she's done it well, and I don't see a problem with it.
Almost minutes after the announcement, there was an online opinion piece zinging around the internet.
Zing.
Written by some kind of commentator now, but had previously worked in Kate Ellis's office.
Mm-hmm.
Knows her pretty well, calls her a friend. Saying that this friend, now commentator / pundit, is seething with anger.
Seething.
About the whole thing. And basically saying, this is just goes to show that women trying to get into politics are severely disadvantaged against their male counterparts, because here's a talented, successful female politician basically giving it away because it's too difficult for her to maintain her career and raise a small child at the same time. She thought it was a disgrace.
A disgrace on whose part?
The system, I think, really. On the system. It's just tilted in the favour of men. But I felt like, I'm not sure that rings true with me, because I don't even know that it is a question of gender. How many men would want to be away from their family, especially with a child around that age, at that stage of the kid's life, for half the year? But surely there'd be plenty of men who would make the exact same call as Kate Ellis.
Oh, I think so. But I do think there are a lot of men that would choose, make a real tough choice and say, this is to provide for my family. This is to really, if this is a great opportunity for me, I can make a lot of money, I can be in a good position, and my family will benefit from me being away. But you're right, some men would decide, no, it's too tough to be away from my family. What's it worth if I can't actually be there to see my kids growing up? How would you feel about it?
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And that's basically the only reason why I don't have a federal political career. I've sacrificed it.
That's big of you.
For our two-year-old. But no, I wouldn't do it. I mean, there are lots of jobs besides federal politician that require a lot of travel, a lot of time on the road. And I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't want to. Like, I know you can't be picky with the job situation. You just sort of take what you can get. But yeah, I would not be keen. And I feel like if I was in the same position, I wouldn't be doing it. I'd be giving it a miss as well.
So you'd rather be in the poorhouse, but happy to be with your son at all those beautiful times?
100%. 100%. Because I'm already in the poorhouse anyway, essentially. The thing about this, the kids at this age, they change so quickly. I mean, if you miss a fortnight, they've gone through stages that they'll never revisit within just those 2 weeks. Imagine being away half a year every year for who knows how long. Like, I don't know. Everyone makes their own call, but that's just my personal feeling about it. Another interesting side note to the retirement announcement.
Yes.
Interested to get your call on it as a veteran newsman. The retirement announcement, she didn't tell the media.
She didn't tell the media. She went through her electorate, sending out letters to people announcing the retirement. I think that's the first words that came to my mind were publicity stunt. It's not a publicity stunt, but it's all about sending a message. And she wants to the very end, be a person that is for her electorate first. Mm. So I think that really leaves a warm, good feeling with the people in the seat of Adelaide. Mm. And perhaps they will embrace the next person a bit warmer.
Like they're the top priority. I've heard people in the media, I guess, faintly criticise the move. But you feel like, well, the media would criticise the move. The media is going to want to get everything first and foremost. I feel like, yeah, if you were in that electorate, you'd feel like, yeah, okay, we do matter. We're top priority. And I think it's kind of refreshing.
I've heard a few of those slight criticisms within the media, and frankly that's because we just want to break it first and know first, and that's our job. But yeah, I agree, it was a good move, and the media got it possibly hours, days afterwards. Big deal. It's done and dusted and everyone knows now, so I'm fine with it. Bill Leak died this week. For people who don't know who Bill Leak is, he's a cartoonist who works in newspapers, magazines, things like that. He's been someone that's really looked into political issues and has seen a few troubles over the times. Tim, what are your memories of that?
Well, big Bill Leak fan, huge fan, first of all, because to look at his cartoons, they just look funny for starters. He was a great drawer. Actually, he was more than a drawer. He was a legitimate artist, featured as a finalist in the famous Archibald portrait competition many times. Won lots of Walkley Awards for his political cartoons, but so an artistic talent, you can't deny. And he basically primarily used it to satirize the political scene, skewer politicians, blah, blah, etc., the rest of it. And it's a strange time for him to pass away. It's a shock, first of all.
Just 61.
61, and, you know, no one in the general public, at least, seemed to know, you know, have any idea that it was, you know, he was ill or anything like that.
Mm.
A lot of people shocked. And it's a strange time because he's only just come through a pretty huge controversy where one of his cartoons might end up becoming his most famous ever cartoon, was branded racist and was became part of a big legal challenge. I've even heard one commentator say that the stress from that whole ordeal basically led him to this early grave. I'm not sure if that's overstating it a little bit. But no doubt it's been a stressful time. He was receiving plenty of threats. The thing about his cartoons were they offended a lot of people. And it's easy for me to say because, you know, I'm happy to cop that I sit in a fairly relatively privileged kind of position and can afford to see the humour in a lot of situations.
Yes.
The people who, you know, perhaps can't would be really offended by the stuff he would draw because it cuts so close to the bone. I don't know if you remember the cartoon Bill Leak drew of the police officer handing a Aboriginal boy over to the boy's father, saying, "Look, you got to take responsibility for your son." And the father reluctantly saying, "Yeah, all right, no worries. What's his name again?" Mm. And you know, cute outrage. It was made a big ripple across the country. Which, you know, as an aside, is kind of the job of a cartoonist. I feel like if you've stirred up the outrage as a cartoonist in that kind of way, job done.
It wasn't based on just off the top of his head, though, was it? It was based on a story involving four Aboriginal kids. Is that correct?
Where? Yeah, it happened. There was an incident just before the cartoon was published where four youngsters were arrested, I think from memory, vandalising a school. And when police returned one of the alleged culprits home, he was a 10-year-old kid, took the kid home, and the father of the kid refused to take responsibility for the son. So, I mean, it's such touchy territory because these are real issues, real people and real lives. To feel like a cartoonist is sitting back and poking fun at what is serious stuff, I can see how that really can upset plenty of people. But at the same time, this is stuff we've got to talk about. And he kind of triggered a conversation about this that, you know, we're better off having it than pretending that some of this bad stuff's not going on, I would have thought.
He was investigated for breaching Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act. So that is a big deal. It wasn't just someone writing a letter to the editor. This was a big deal at the time. And, yeah, as you said, Spectator magazine editor and friend Rowan Dean says that the scrutiny led to Bill's death. That is a very full-on comment.
Big call.
Tim, cartoonists, they can cut through centimetres and centimetres of copy to get to the nub of an issue.
And they get right to the nub. They love the nub.
Often a story can be summarised in a cartoon, and the amount of times you'll remember a twist on it or an image that makes you understand an otherwise very thick and quite dry subject, they can cut to the point, to the nub, and really point out some of the issues. So to me, they're ahead of their time. If you look at the internet now, we've got memes that sort of are mm-hmm. a dumbed-down version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about getting a picture, mm-hmm. summarising an issue,
yep.
having a bit of a laugh about it, having a think about it.
Yeah.
And cartoonists have been doing that for years, sort of fast-tracking your thoughts on something and provoking a bit of conversation. You won't hear people talking about, "Did you read that full-page story on the front page of The Australian?" But you might hear someone say, did you see that cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Pauline Hanson riding a bike
mm-hmm.
while Bill Shorten was whipping her or something like that.
Because we're so visual. We are really visual beings, and cartoonists, you know, that's right up their alley. And they can make comments, essentially say things in their drawings that you could not actually say in written words. So yeah, they get a pretty long leash, which is great. And Bill Leake's big thing was it's all about free speech. You know, he accepted, I think, that he was going to offend some people, and not everyone would agree. And that was kind of the point. The point was, well, we're allowed to say things and test ideas and have a bit of a debate about it. To end on a perhaps a lighter note.
Yes.
Still a controversy around Bill Leake, but a bit of a lighter-hearted one. He started drawing back in just before Kevin Rudd became PM. He started drawing Kevin Rudd as Tintin, which is kind of inspired in a way, because the when you saw them, the drawings, the resemblance was kind of uncanny. So Leake would draw Rudd with Tintin's little, you know, spiked up bit of hair at the front, and kind of looking like a, you know, little wide-eyed kid out on a big adventure, which was really what Kevin, you know, summed up Kevin Rudd really well. But then Bill got in a lot of trouble, was legally challenged by the creators of Tintin for essentially kind of plagiarizing the character. And from memory, I think that shook down all right for him. I don't think he got in any lasting trouble over it. But, you know, no matter what he did, someone was upset.
Political correctness gone mad on the streets, Tim. Tell me about it.
It always goes mad, doesn't it? Political correctness doesn't really do anything else but go mad.
That's true.
So we have been discriminating all this time at our pedestrian crossings.
What?
There's been a gross inequality.
Okay.
Where the flashing symbol to let you know that it's time to cross or not cross has all along been a man.
Yeah, it has been, I think.
So that is not fair, we realised this week.
Says who?
There's a group in Melbourne,
mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll get to them in a minute, because I have the beginnings of a conspiracy theory on this one. Melbourne committee, who want to make sure that all the pedestrian crossings in that city are equally half and half male, and half of them male and half of them female. So where you see the little green man to let you know it's time to walk, we'll see a little green lady.
Okay. I wonder how much that would cost.
Yeah, I saw the figure. Is it 1,000 or 8,000?
Okay.
It's minimum. It's like $1,800 minimum.
I suppose they just slide in a different slide in front of the light.
No, I think they just paint a dress on over the man.
Oh.
But it's you know, it's a fair whack. And when you think of how many of these things are in a city like Melbourne, don't know if anyone has done the sums, but that's going to be a fair whack of money. Mm. And one of the criticisms of the plan is, well, that money could go towards much more useful things.
Yeah.
Even like fixing road congestion and the safety of the road. But you know, even people who kind of admit, well, yeah, there is like a bit of a gender bias in our society, and some of it is unconscious. Even given that, is changing this going to fix that or do anything about it? I think I haven't really seen many people speak out in favour of this. I think the common consensus is, I mean, let's get men and women paid the equal amount for the same job. Maybe that's where we should be looking instead of the crossing walk.
Yeah, it's a garbage issue. I can see, yeah, it's something for the future. And I guess when a light crossing blows out, put in a women's one. I don't think it's a pressing issue. And I guess, yeah, I guess times change and people will go, oh, why was there only just men on the images? But I don't think it's a big deal. I was thinking about it before. When you're a kid, you learn about, all right, this is where you cross the road. You wait for the green man or you wait for the red man. But once you do that, it's sort of taught to you by your parents or a school teacher or something like that. But once that's done, it's so automatic to just follow those rules. Do you really need to have a man or a woman? Could you just have a smiley face or...
Or how about just the light? Green means go.
Yes.
Red means stop.
Yep. Yeah.
When you're driving in a car, I mean, they don't shape the lights in the shape of a car. Like, maybe we should have lights in the shape of a car so the cars know when to go, and then special lights in the shape of a truck so the trucks know when they can go.
I was always thinking, almost thinking, just because trying to think of different angles to it, like, could it be a sponsorship thing? You could have Coca-Cola, stop. So you sponsor the little area, so... When it comes up red, it's a Coca-Cola. You stop for Coke. And green for Sprite or something like that.
Sounds futuristic. It sounds like what you see in sci-fi movies.
Yeah, I probably saw it on... what's that one with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Terminator 2.
One of those. I probably stole it from somewhere. The new Royal Adelaide Hospital... It's been in the headlines for, feels like 10 years, and obviously a very expensive project, lots of delays, lots of legal battles, but the state government finally felt confident enough to invite the media in, have a look around, and I guess get pictures out there on social media and TV and websites. They only invite the special people, and Tim, you were there.
They only invite the special people, but I snuck my way in as well anyway. And I was kind of too busy focusing on trying to take photos to really take it in. But thinking back to the parts of the building we walked through, it is unbelievably impressive. Good. It feels like it cost billions of dollars to make or to build. Yeah. And I think that's mainly because it did. But it's parts of it resemble an art gallery. There's some pretty involved sculpture pieces and like... A sunken courtyard with a giant sculpture coming up out of it. There's lots of lobbies and courtyards, and you know, it's very impressive. And it's weird to go through there before it's open, because once it becomes a hospital, it's not really, you know, no one really wants to go there and visit it. So yeah, it's a weird one because it's a beautiful building, and apparently there's lots of research to suggest that the aesthetics of a hospital can actually contribute to health outcomes and well-being of patients. But at the end of the day, I mean, how much do you really care about the view or how nice the architecture is when you're in there with a real serious health concern?
Part of the view's the train depot, though, or Adelaide train station. Correct. That didn't look too flash.
Depends on how you feel about the metro train system, I guess. I'm not really a train buff, but if you were...
Well, it's interesting. There's things moving.
Yeah, there are things moving. And
unless it's a blackout.
Yeah, which is every other Thursday. But, maybe we need to start thinking about dressing up our trains more now and getting some maybe artwork across them, some street art. If we can find nothing else, just... Let the kids go wild with graffiti. And then this is going to provide a bit of a moving slideshow going past.
Yeah.
As people sort of gaze out the windows. Because you're right, there is a lot of rooms that look directly onto that rail yard and the trains go past. And then not much further beyond Adelaide Oval. You can sort of see the top of Adelaide Oval. I don't think you could actually catch the game if you're in a hospital bed.
No. The big issue I've always had with this hospital... I think it has changed slightly over the years, is the capacity. The capacity from the old RAH to the new RAH, the NRA, is not that much different. To me, we need to prepare for the future of an ageing population in Adelaide, and to think that there are not too many more beds disappoints me, and it's always been a problem, but it seems to be an issue that's been had, it's been debated, and we've all moved on, so... Perhaps I'm on my own there.
I think what you've inadvertently done is discovered the silver lining in the black cloud that is this state's brain drain, because everyone is leaving. We don't actually really need that much hospital capacity.
Yeah, maybe in 20, 30 years, our population still only be sort of a bit over 1 million.
It'll be you, me.
Couple of other people. It'll be good.
Stray cat.
Stray cat. No, it looks an impressive building. Whether the state government get enough mileage out of it, they did so with the Adelaide Oval before the last election. We all went fantastic. There was that positive vibe about this. A hospital's not quite as exciting for everyone. As you said, most people don't want to go to a hospital day to day, but it's impressive. Will it be the saviour for a sort of sinking Labor government?
Well, not if the power's the number one thing, surely. If you can't get the power reliable to power the beautiful new hospital you've built, then, yeah, you've kind of missed the point. But we'll see.